Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen here. Holy cow. What is all I can say? What a morning we have in the market here. I thought that Kraft Heinz would be like the big disaster stock of the day. It would lead our show. And then I saw what happened to Stamps.com. And in one night, the stock has gone from just under 200. They closed at 198, and they are now at $96.11, 2 cents now. I mean, oh my! I don't even have the words to describe. So we're going to talk about those two stocks. We have a ton of interesting earnings reports today, from Dropbox to Zillow to Wayfair to Roku. A lot of ratings. The analysts are very busy here. And our guest today will be at 8:35. That is Sean Emery from Avery and Company. Let's just jump right into it, Joel. What's the word here in the overnight session?
Oh boy! Well, despite those few disasters out there, we have the S&P's trading the green by 10 3/4 handles at 27.85. On the upside, your pre-market high is just a few ticks by the high close in the move. So that will be our focus number on the upside. 27.87, yesterday's high up at 27.98. Coming back on the downside, mid-range on the session, 79 1/4 for your lower risk long entries. Your close at 74 1/4, pre-market low, 70.50. You have crude up 81 cents, continuing that move on $80 here. We just cleared yesterday's high at 57.81, so good move for crude oil. Gold down 270 at 13.25.10. Silver well under $16 here at 15.79. And has Bitcoin got to 4,000 yet? Let me take a quick look here at the Bitcoin futures and Bitcoin. Man, it's just hanging there. Getting ready to try and go through 4,000. But Spencer, before we go into all the stuff from today, do you owe me a lunch there on the Nike bet?
I don't think I ever accepted the terms of that bet. I said I would consider, and then we kind of forgot about it. So I'm thankful I didn't, because I would have lost that bet. Nike closed down 1% yesterday. So they did gain a percent point back from the pre-market low, but they still closed down 1%. So you would have won that bet. Congratulations, I guess. But I don't believe I owe you a lunch.
Okay. Well, you know, I just want to say that I kind of feel bad, because I think I put the Hexamona on Zion Williamson. Do you know what a Hexamona is?
No.
A Hexamona is like you put a little curse on somebody.
Okay.
And the night of that game, what was that? That was Wednesday night. I picked Lisa up for the airport. We were just talking about our college, you know, Michigan State game on Saturday, and there was a Michigan game last night. And she's like, "Where's the Final Four this year? You think we're going to make the Final Four? You think, you know, where you're going to go?" And I'm like, "You know what, Lisa?" I said, "I'm always super optimistic about Michigan and winning the national championship. But on the day of that Duke North Carolina game, I said, I just don't see how anybody can hate, you know, beat Duke. And I hate Duke as much as anybody. And I just was building up Zion Williamson. And then we're watching the game, and he blew out his shoe. And Lisa remembered me saying this. I go, do you think Duke, or do you think he's going to sue Nike?" And I'm like, "No." And anyways, the stock recovered pretty nice from that. It's trading back up green on the session here today at 84 1/4. Let's just see if we could get back above that. What was the close on Wednesday? I think that's the only number I'll be looking at here in Nike. That close was 84.84, so keep an eye on that. But where do you want to go?
Stamps. Yeah, we got to start with Stamps. I was just talking with the guys on the news desk. Brent said he's been doing financial news now for 12 years. He has never seen a guidance this bad. And essentially, the headline here from Stamps is that they ended their partnership
with
the U.S. Postal Service,
So I'll read you the exact quote. This is from the conference call. This is from the CEO. We would no longer be exclusive to the USPS, and that's non-negotiable. The USPS has not agreed to accept these terms or any other terms of our partnership proposal. So at this point, we have decided to discontinue our shipping partnership with the USPS so that we can fully embrace partnerships with other carriers who we think will be well positioned to win in the shipping business in the next 5 years. Now, all that being said, that tried to make that sound as positive as he could, but that is not a good headline here. So I'll just read the numbers here. The Q4, which is irrelevant now, the Q4 was fine. They beat on the EPS and they beat on their sales, but their fiscal year adjusted EPS guidance, the estimate was $10.79. What they actually guided was $5.15 to $6.15. So they missed the EPS guidance by half. The sales guidance missed by about $100 million as well. And I've never seen a pre-market move from 200 to below 100. I mean,
if you are stamps.com and you're selling stamps and you end your relationship with the U.S. Post Office, what does that, who else are they going to have relationship? I mean, who are their other relationships?
I don't know. So yeah, great point, Hunter. He might go postal today. I'm going postal. I don't even know what to say about this. This is absurd.
Oh man. This stock got uninitiated, 2-for-1. You know what? Maybe what they need to do is deliver stamps through, like, get involved with blockchain or something.
Maybe.
Can you do that? I'm not going to do a lot of technicals on this one because this thing can go anywhere, will go anywhere. Your pre-market low is 93.50, and then 93.50 area. And I dug in the monthlies here, and I saw that you had a 93.30 low back in November of 2016. Back there, after that low, it's 89.26. So actually, it's kind of a quiet consolidation after making a run at that low. I'll just tell you that since you bounced off that, let's call minor resistance here at 108.21, that's been the high after you made that initial spike low. But holy mackerel, not a good day, and we'll see what this company can do. But, man, triple top on the monthly. If you're looking at your monthlies, triple top at the 280 area, and here you are, 2-for-1 stock split.
This was a $3.5 billion company yesterday. It is not anymore. It is half that. What about UPS and FedEx here this morning?
How are they doing?
Both here? Getting hit. The guy hit after the bell. They've both sort of bounced back here a little bit, but on very light volume.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to dig more into the fundamentals on this. I mean, FedEx is. Had its disaster. It's been climbing back. UPS has been hanging in there a little bit long. The chart looks a little bit better. I think the big thing, if you're worried these stocks after, FedEx and UPS is, what's the footprint for Amazon? You know what I mean? Where are they going to come in? Is it going to be another Amazon killer here? But tough stocks to own here. UPS, just down, they did hit it slightly. It's coming back.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in the chat here. Jazz is saying when he saw the stamp move, he thought we were in the .com area. I mean, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. It looks like we're in 2000 again. I've been trying to look for some like stamp.com peers, maybe like RP or MDB. I don't know if they really have any too closely aligned with them, but this is a pretty company specific headline here on stamps. I don't even know what to say about it anymore, but just a disaster. I guess you can't really give any technicals because
I gave that pre-market low. If I had a short, which I don't,
if you had a short, you would have your finger on the buy button.
I would have been out at like 120, where like whoever. I don't see. Let me see the chart. It just must have went. Did they halt it or just? It was just straight down. If you were, looking for bids and just go straight down. It's kind of getting quiet now, though. But those are easy, early parameters, 93.30 up to 108.21. Good luck trading that one.
Getting quiet down to 97. All right. So let's go to the other big disaster one of the day, and that is Kraft Heinz. And if you're looking for like a recipe of how of things to say if you want to have a really bad earnings report, the recipe would pretty much consist of bad guidance, dividend cut, and announce an SEC investigation. And wouldn't you know it, Kraft Heinz did all of those things yesterday. They had bad guidance, which they hardly ever gave in the first place. They cut their dividend, and they announced an SEC investigation. So I'll just read through the numbers here on Kraft Heinz. There is a lot to get through. So the Q4 EPS, 84 cents, missed the 94 cent estimate. Sales, 6.89 over 6.94. billion dollars. So a miss on both of the Q4 numbers, the EPS and the sales for Kraft Heinz. I mentioned the dividend cut on an annual basis that was cut by about 40% from $2.50 to $1.60. And also, this is a company that very rarely gives guidance. They did give an adjusted EBITDA total, a range they gave, $6.3 to $6.5 billion for the year. The estimate for that was up at $7.5 billion. So they missed that. The loan guidance they gave was light. And on top of all of that, they missed the earnings. They missed the guidance. They cut the dividend. They announced this investigation by the SEC into their procurement. And they said they've been working with the investigators and lawyers, but there's going to be no it won't impact prior quarters, prior periods, but who knows?
Wow.
Who knows what the impact of this could be going forward?
Well, for full disclosure, this was a very small part of my portfolio yesterday, my long-term portfolio, and it's going to be even a smaller part today. So
me too. Hey, you know what, Joel? I'm with you.
I don't know. I have to take a look at it. I'm not buying more, you know, that's for sure. And we'll see what it, very small part. I think I just may throw in the towel on this one. We continue to make new lows as we go here. We're down $12.13. Over 5 million shares have traded. I believe this is Buffett's biggest holding.
It might be his largest in terms of the number of shares that he owned, but it's not his largest in terms of the value of his portfolio. That's Apple. So he may own more shares of this than anything else, but it's not his largest in terms of portfolio value.
All right, and Berkshire's trading in the red here. That is the reason, the reason for that. That's trading down to $1.97 at 203.30. They are continuing to pound this thing as we speak. It makes new lows for the session. Is Warren coming on today on CNBC? Because I know he has his annual letter coming out tomorrow. So this is just a real bombshell. Be interesting to see what he has to say. He could probably buy the company with what he have in his savings account right now. Who knows what's going to happen with this stock. I would just use half and whole numbers. If you do have a short or you're trying to initiate a long, 39 even's been resistance. Let's even call it 3870 is resistance and continue to make new lows on the session. I just have a question for everybody. Doesn't anybody use ketchup anymore? Or eat, I don't eat bologna, but they wrote the value of those brands down so much. Yeah. It's just unbelievable here. Caught holding the bag on this one, but that's what happens. So we'll see what happens. These other food stocks, I don't understand this. Weight Watchers are getting killed. All the food stocks are getting killed.
They're all down.
What are people doing? What are they eating, like tofu and granola? What are people eating?
Well,
it's
interesting that a couple of like food delivery startups have just filed for an IPO. I saw DoorDash raised a bunch of money yesterday. We have Grubhub. So I guess they're eating out. I guess they're eating out at restaurants. I don't have any other ideas as to parse the performance of these companies here, because doesn't make sense to me, but
Grubhub, people are, Mickey D's, people are saying, yeah. Grubhub, we have to JP2K1. Are you new to the chat? I don't think I've seen that's a JP2K1, hello and welcome to the pre-market prep show here. Chili traders piping in. Maybe people are eating chili. I don't know about this this Dine and Dash thing that's IPOing. I mean, Blue Apron. I mean, NASDAQ has been nothing but down since.
Well, that's a different business. That's a different business. DoorDash and Postmates, which both have filed for IPO, as well as Uber, and Uber has Uber Eats. They do food delivery, so you can just order delivery from any restaurant. So I guess it's good for the restaurants there. But gosh, I really don't – all-time low here. I really don't know what – again,
Let's just go through the big guns here in the food sector. Yeah. Kella, and what I would do with all these, I mean, I know it's trading down to $1.38. I would just look at the recent lows of the moves and see, you know, if it can get there. I mean, no one can have accounting problems, cut the dividend, and, you know, have all these write-downs for something, but it's sector-related. So let's take a look. Well, 56, we're trading down to $1.38 in Kellogg, not a lot of volume trading in Kellogg. Let's see here if I can, the low of the move in this one is way down at 54.14. So that'd be a little bit longer term of play. I don't think we'll see that today off the news. You have Tyson Chicken, Eat More Chicken. That one had a nice rally, but that's trading down 36 cents in the pre-market trading. So this one has a little bit more. I don't even think we've taken out yesterday's low here. So maybe this is the one they're not going to beat up. Keep an eye on 62.20. In Tyson Foods, that was your three-day low, and that was your low for yesterday. Campbell's Soup, I guess no one's eating soup anymore. The stock had a nice little rally, but that's given some of that back down $1.64, trading on the lows of the pre-market session, trading at 33.80. Not the low of the move, but you did have a low at 33.45. If you're looking for a potential short cover there, Campbell's Soup. General Mills trading down $1.95, put in a double top yesterday. You probably have some longs trapped in this one. Currently trading at 45. Where are we at? Our last print here is at 45 even, just sitting on the lows of the pre-market session. I will look at the three-day low, and then 3 and 4 day low are right here at 44.77, 44.81. The only thing, it drops off to $44 after that. So Kraft Heinz is your leader, and you just have this is the definition of a step-down seller. And they are just relentless here, and they're going to keep going until they find a big buyer here. So, wow, what two stocks. If you thought down 50, ooh, we got a new low here. Stamps.com on the lows of the pre-market session. Now down 53%, 93.20, 93 is your last print. I think I just mentioned 89.5 was a monthly low going back. So, folks, be careful in this one if you're trying to pick a bottom.
And also Hormel, which just had earnings 24 hours ago that the street didn't like.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about Hormel. Oh, that chart looks horrible, too. And that was just starting to claw back. So there's this Hormel. Wait, is that old people eat? Is that thing was made a new all-time high. They must sell some other things. That's down. That has come off. HRL, am I looking at the right chart? Wow.
They sell spam.
That's all people eat. Spam. Spam, tofu, and granola. But we'll see what happens on this one, boy. If you own any stocks, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I'll tell you, tough day. Tough day.
Yeah, really, really tough day here. But and yet, in spite of that, Joel, we're up here this morning.
Yeah. Well, we have some. Let's go to some good reports here. Let's change the tone here and see what's the reason for the strength in the market today.
We can change the tone. Let's go to Roku first. Get some positive headlines flowing here. Roku had their earnings after the bell. Yesterday, the Q4 EPS 5 cents versus a 3 cent estimate. Q4 sales 275 versus $261 million, so beats on both of those of numbers for the Q4. The Q1 sales guidance they gave was in line, and they also reported that they added 3.3 million active accounts last quarter.
Well, that's the exact opposite here. Boy, and this is a wild stock here. I just want to make sure to see we had a high of, let's call it 78, and then that took it down to 26. I should have figured this out before the show started. We are well through the 50% retracement at $52. Pre-market high stands at 55.30. Really haven't backed off that too much. The only thing that of note here is there were three 15-minute brackets where that's the high. So you have someone at least willing to let go of a little stock here at 55.30. And going on to dailies here. Oh, this is kind of interesting. You have a gap up from your last report between 51.46 and 55.71. That gap happened in November here. So I'll look at that as resistance. If you're even looking for more than that, the high on November 7th was 59.18 for Roku.
No one's buying food because they're apparently buying expensive furniture. Because we have Wayfair here this morning. Among the top gainers on my pre-market filter here, Wayfair up after their report this morning, Q4 EPS, $1.12 loss versus an estimate of $1.28 loss. So they beat that estimate there. Sales of $1.99 versus $1.97 billion. So a slight sales beat as well. And it's up like 13% here.
14% as we speak. Pre-market high, I just made on the last bracket at 139.24. If you go back to, let's see here, October of last year, you had some highs at 136. Double top at 136. I mean, we went through it in the pre-market by just a little bit, but if you're trading this and you're looking for resistance here, 136 was a double top, then it opens up to 139.47. So strong report. You just didn't get a big red candle here, and you have backed off the high. So we'll see. The longer it takes to get to the pre-market high, a little bit more of a fade here in Wayfair. Street was kind of selling this end of the report, down 3 days ahead of it. So maybe if they were selling at 117, 118, they'd be selling up here in the 130 handle as well.
Zillow Group, we can go ticker Z or ZG, reported after the bell yesterday. EPS in line, 1 cent. That was in line with the estimate. And then the revenue, $365 versus $349 million.
Which one is Z? Which one trades more volume?
You know,
Z
you know what? I don't know, actually, with this one.
I think it's Z. Boom. Not a bad report. Popping up, but you were much higher on this one, folks. After the report, 38.73, that was your pre-market high. Pretty good range in this one. I'll just give you the parameters of their pre-market and after-hours trading, and then you can do what you want. 38.73, and then you had to sell off to 35 even. So that's what the market's giving you here so far in Zillow Group.
Well, we can go to Dropbox. Dropbox, which was one of the more highly anticipated names after the bell yesterday. They reported their earnings. Q4 adjusted EPS and DBX of 10 cents versus an 8 cent estimate. Sales of 375.9 versus $370 million. So an EPS and a sales beat in the Q4 for Dropbox. On the conference call, they gave some guidance. Their Q1 sales guidance coming in higher than the estimate. Their fiscal year sales guidance also coming in higher than the estimate, both by, I don't know, like 1% or 2%. So nothing crazy there, but they did beat on the guidance.
All right. Boom. They didn't like the report initially, and they took it as low as 22.50. Then you got a rebound to 24.50. So those are your early levels. You did have a nice rally going into this report. So you might have some people stuck on the long side. Resistance for me would come in at 24.93. That's a couple bucks away. That was the low from yesterday. That would fill the gap. On the dailies, if you're looking for support, you don't have really any double bottoms to lean on. A low of 23.27, that was your low back on February 1st here for Dropbox.
All right, let's move away from the earnings for a second, because there's a couple of non-earnings related headlines we wanted to discuss. One of them being Tesla. The complicated relationship with Consumer Reports continues. Their Model 3 was essentially, I guess you can say, it was downgraded. They lost their Consumer Reports said they can't recommend the Model 3 over reliability issues, and that came out middle of the day yesterday.
This thing's just kind of been plagued, man. It's just, you know, there's been a heck of a lot more bad news than any good news coming out or anything. And I know we have a lot of people that like to sell puts in this thing. I mean, it's not, I mean, it's trading up $3 in the pre-market session, so it's getting a little bit of a rebound. Boom, where did we go? It's just holding in here. For some reason, people changed their mind about that report or in the market, or you got maybe just trading up in sympathy with the market. Yesterday's low, 290.50, and the close was in that area too. I mean, I would not get interested in this on the long side until we could get back over like the 305 area and just let it come down. I mean, maybe eventually you'll get this thing at 279.28. That was a major low in the stock, but it just seems like every day there's like bad news coming out on this thing. So be careful if you're a put seller in this one.
And then we've been talking for a while now about consolidation in the mining space, and we have a report from Bloomberg that Barrick Gold is considering a bid for Newmont Mining, NEM.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, these stocks have had a rally along with the gold market. Newmont trading up $1.44. We had talked about consolidation. I'm not sure how much this will be, you know, how much of a chunk we'll be able to bite off. Big move for Newmont Mining, up $1.44 at $36.85. Someone got real excited here at $37.95. Just, you know, be careful on the short side on this one. If there's a deal, I have no idea what price it's going to be at. You're blowing away the former high of the move made yesterday at 36.10. So if you are shorting this, looking for a gap fill, just be aware 36.10 was yesterday's high. That would fill the gap. Yesterday's close down at 35.41. Newmont has not been up near $40 since it hit 38.63 back in July of 2018, but if there's a deal on the table, then, you know, that's going to determine the potential resistance or consolidation area.
All right, there were actually a couple of earnings that I had forgotten about, and I want to go back to them. OLED and the Trade Desk. So let's do TTD first. It is on my filter right now. My up filter, it is the third largest gainer of the morning here. The Trade Desk reporting yesterday after the bell, Q. For adjusted EPS of $1.09 versus an 80-cent estimate, so a big beat on the EPS. The sales figure of $160 million versus $147 million, so a beat there as well. The Q1 sales guidance beat by $1 million. The fiscal year sales guidance beat by about $20 million, so they beat across the board. Day to the Trade Desk.
Okay, what's there bad to say about this one? Continuing to make new highs here. As we speak, 173 even is your pre-market high. Currently trading 172.47. If you're thinking of selling this one, what I would do is I would just check out the pre-market high, write it, boom, at 929 and 59 seconds. See where it's at, and then use that as a potential resistance area. The former all-time high, we're blowing that away. 165.70, and that was made in February. But you know who I think is probably like the busiest department on Wall Street today? The margin department, because it is just with these moves and these, you know, if that is, there's a thing, folks, about owning stuff on margin. I mean, you never know if you're going to get a 2-for-1 stock split, but I'll tell you right now. There could just be right now in KHC and stamps.com, they just might be margin calling, just puking it, just getting out of the position. So that's a big factor, getting called in on these trades, and shorts just loving it, pressing the market lower. So.
Especially when you consider, I don't know so much about stamps, but someone brought this up, and I believe in the YouTube chat, Kraft Heinz is
that's like a bellwether.
It's a safe stock.
That's a, exactly. That's a safe one. Like you know that like hedge funds and pension funds own Kraft Heinz, or they, I mean, they, maybe they did. I don't know if they're going to still own it today, but that's like a, I don't know what the market cap was, but I looked it up before the show. It was $58 billion. I mean, this is a staple. I mean, and it's owned for its dividend. I mean, a safe stock. So I would be very curious to see the reaction that the overall market has here today. Once the real liquidity comes in at 9:30, in exactly an hour from now. Let's go to OLED. Also, the stock got punished with Apple's guidance on like January 3rd there, and it's basically been straight up since then, sort of under the radar for me here. But they had earnings yesterday after the bell. The Q4 EPS, 40 cents versus a 31 cent estimate, sales of $70 million, which is essentially in line with the estimate. But they also raised their quarterly dividend from 6 cents a share to 10 cents a share.
Nice spike up here, OLED, pre-market trading. They popped it to 129.75. I like that area because on the monthlies, you had a high at 130.60. So there's a resistance point on this one, 130.60. After that, who knows, use your half and whole numbers. Actually, above 130.60, I see 134.55. So if you are trading OLED, keep an eye on those resistance levels. And for support level, I don't know, you did, after you had that initial spike and you pulled back, you found some buyers at 125, but I would call 125 minor support in this one, and see where it can go on the upside. Still a long way from its all-time high of 209, made in January of 2018.
Are they a peer of Lattice, LSCC, Lattice Semiconductor? Because that's also up this morning. I haven't seen a specific headline on that, but it could be related to OLED.
What's the symbol on that one?
LSCC.
LSCC. You have to do your homework on that one. Boy, this had a good report a couple days ago and has not looked back. It hit $13 and boy, we haven't been up. This stock has been around for a long time, folks. I haven't looked at it in a while. 1275. We are right below. We did spike above it, but 1275 was your high in May of 2002. So if you've been holding on since that period, there is a potential resistance level in Lattice Semiconductor.
All right, it's just about 8:34 here. Let's take our break for the day and grab today's guest. That is Sean Emery. He is the founder and CIO of Avery and Company. So we'll be right back in a moment here with Mr. Emery. All right, welcome back, everyone. Pre-market prep, Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, now joined by Sean Emery. Avery and Company is his firm. Sean, how's it going this morning?
Good morning, guys. Busy morning for sure.
So let's play a hypothetical here this morning. Let's just pretend, let's say you wake up, maybe you weren't watching the market yesterday, and you woke up this morning and you owned like Kraft Heinz or Stamps.com. What the hell do you do?
Yeah, no, especially Stamps. I mean, look at Stamps. It looked like a stock split at first glance. And clearly it wasn't, right? It was a huge guy down. You kind of have to know why you were in that company to begin with, which would give you that sense of comfort. But Stamps, I mean, guiding to kind of half of what maybe consensus was, it's a huge plunge. So there you have to just revisit kind of your thesis. I know going from exclusive to more a horizontal approach in terms of their relationships may play to their favor over the long term, but it is a challenge. It didn't seem like the breakup was a clean one. It seemed like there was some friction there in the comments from the CEO. Kraft's a different story. Kraft's obviously we know Warren Buffett's there, so it kind of has that Buffett put. I don't know if that's necessarily there anymore, given we know kind of Buffett's cash constraints. given the size of his portfolio today. But Kraft, I mean, look, $39 billion of debt, big debt burden that company has, going through a transformation today. I mean, they made it pretty clear, sell-off assets. Some of the bullet points in their investor deck was pretty concerning if you were an investor. Just the way they phrased some terminology about their strategy.
Such as?
And the growth is mediocre at best. So I know the brand's there, and that's kind of why Buffett continues to love it, plus the sheer size you can invest in. But you got to be concerned deeply about both.
What phrases concerned you?
Yeah, so in early on in the deck, they talked about kind of what they're trying to do to in terms of the transformation, kind of rediscipline, and some other phrases that essentially were pretty bold, basically saying we have a problem and we need to solve them quickly. And yeah, so all along that deck, they had big red check marks on some of their strategy performance. And it was pretty clear that transformation is at the heart of what they're trying to do. But again, when you have $39 billion of debt, I think transformation becomes actually harder than a company that is sitting with very little financial leverage and kind of has that opportunity set to kind of be much more nimble in their maneuvers, but they're not there today.
So let's talk about the overall market here, though. I mean, since we last had you on, we've been done a little bit of a reversal here, and yet we're somehow, by some way, we are still up here this morning, last I checked. So well, what are your thoughts here on the overall market?
Yeah, so again, yeah, from those lows, I mean, we've seen the industrials really take that lead, take the baton, which was, again, one of the most hated areas of the market. Obviously signaled some of the economic concerns that were out there. So that's something that from a technical perspective or relative basis is positive. But when you look at some of the consumer related companies, specifically if you take a look at like XLY and relative XLY, you actually see some weakness. I mean, that hasn't performed the same way as maybe some of the other key sectors. And I think it makes sense as kind of the economy continues to slow in a sense. While the reports themselves weren't kind of what maybe some feared, the overall kind of guidance in the picture that is clear is that there is a slowing in trend. We saw it in retail sales. We saw it in some other figures, industrial production, and again, some other key metrics that we focus on. And again, if the consumer is not necessarily as healthy as they once were, and that drives maybe 70% of kind of economic activity, I think that's showing up in XLY. So that's really where I'm seeing somewhat of a concern. We're running right up into kind of key levels. I feel like every time I'm on the show that we're running into some sort of key level. And yeah, so from a broader perspective, again, I think to march to new highs after such a dramatic move higher, I think it's challenging with XLY doing what it's doing. And then on the flip side, I think just broader perspective, looking in, you look at the consumer itself and the health of the consumer, I think that should be a clear red flag for some stock pickers and making sure that you're owning areas that are kind of insulated to the negative trends in consumer activity.
We're on the line with Sean Emery. He's the founder and CIO of Avery and Company. Now, I didn't believe the last time we had you on, there was a lot of weakness in the market. And you were pointing out some more conservative plays. And I just wanted to go over a couple of those because they probably fared pretty well when the market was selling off. Let's just see how they fared here when there was a little bit of different asset allocation on this big rally. So could you give me a couple of those? Were they REITs that we were talking about last time we had you on the show?
No. We talked about actually Electronic Arts, which has been a nice little volatile asset to hold.
Okay.
Obviously, that week, actually, I believe they either were just reporting or had just reported. And then they obviously surprise announced Apex Legends, which is kind of the story there. And again, gaming for us, which has been kind of one of our trends or themes for kind of this year and beyond, is given the fact that these gaming companies, Activision, Blizzard, and some others, EA specifically in our case, has abundance of cash. So while everyone's trying to make the next kind of Fortnite, EA has won the operational capacity, and they also have the financial capacity to do so. So we saw, different than maybe how Fortnite grew up, Apex was created and then marketed using kind of EA's channels, going directly to Ninja, and there was words that they paid him to get him to stream and play it. That's a different angle than kind of your smaller independent shop that's trying to make the next Fortnite has. So these gaming companies are flush with cash. As gaming continues to evolve, they continue to be the leaders there. So it's an interesting space, and that was hit deeply way before even the market was selling off last year. So those companies were down 50-60% from those highs originally. And it was kind of its own story within kind of the broader market context. And we continue to focus there. It's an interesting space.
All right. So how do you handle this one? It's had, the monster move, the price action, straight down. I think it was even lower in the pre-market trading. You had that 78 high, and then things got real excited when it went to 108.80. I got a big green candle to work through here. Are you looking at enter a position, add to a position, trim a position? What are you looking at technically here in EA?
Yeah, no, the kind of, obviously the round number of 100 starts to get interesting for some investors. But below that, kind of that 95, 94 region, one, both valuation and two, technical, starts to get interesting. Ways to play that, honestly, for us, because there's so much anxiety around the name. And if you look underneath the surface, you can see it. It's put option selling. So if you like the theme long term, I think selling some put options around that 95 target, 90 target, you can get as low as there and make some pretty interesting income. That's a way to leg in without kind of having to have a clear understanding of where this technical picture is gonna end, because it's been pretty volatile over the last couple of weeks. So it's not as easy from a kind of day-to-day trading perspective. But if you wanted to leg in and you believed in the story, then put option selling at these levels with the anxiety is actually a pretty interesting idea.
Sean, before we run here, can you give us another name that you're eyeing in the long term on the long side?
Yeah. So we're finalizing a company, so I won't share that. Maybe next time I can share kind of that. It's a smaller company, billion-dollar company. But another company that we continue to like is Omnicell, which doesn't necessarily resonate to most people. But we've been shareholders of Omnicell, OMCL, healthcare automation. It's been a big, big story for kind of the healthcare industry. They're kind of in a league of their own, controlling about 50% of their market. They make those little cabinets in the corners of the hospital pharmacies, where kind of the medication is managed. Interesting story led by Randall Libs, the founder and CEO for 25 years. So again, a company that's, I believe, making new all-time highs. Once again, they reported a couple of weeks ago, they have this massive backlog in place. So very, very interesting story at the company level. Obviously technicals, it's performing as well. But interesting story that most likely people haven't really heard of, and we actually like that.
You're right. I've never heard of that, and I like learning about names I've never heard of before. So I'm looking to this going forward, because I don't know anything about it. I've never heard of them before. So thanks for the intro. Sean, we've been on the line, sorry about that, with Sean, Emery, founder of Avery & Company. Sean, thanks for the time as always, and we'll catch up with you later in the year.
No, awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of the day.
All right.
Thank you, Sean. S&P futures are a little bit of a slow leak here. Nothing to be alarmed about. Still up seven handles at 27.81 and a quarter. Big number on the upside, folks. Let's post a new high close for the move here. That is 27.87. That's three ticks above the three ticks below the pre-market high. So that's the key focus level on the upside. On the downside here, you got mid-range here at 79 and a quarter. That's a soft number. We're quickly approaching that. The close from yesterday, 74 and a quarter. A lot of quarter numbers in there. We will keep an eye on that, Spencer. 847. Have we gotten through our onslaught of earnings reports?
Well, I mean, for the most part, we need to check in on. I just need to check in for my own sanity on Stamps and Kraft Heinz, and they're at the lows. Oh God! Every time I look, it's lower.
What are you talking about? Kraft Heinz,
both Stamps and both Kraft Heinz and Stamps.
Because like I said, the margin. I don't know if the margins are selling in the pre market. That'd be absolutely. That's adding the liquidity. Not liquids, but 8 million shares have traded in KHC, just continuing to move lower. What can I say? Maybe 30, I don't know, maybe someone's trying to buy this here at 35, 36. I will say, and I'm not going to make a lunch bet on this one, but I think on Kraft Heinz, I think you're going to get a level like in the pre-market. I have no idea what it is, like 35 and a half or 35, 40. It could be one of those days where it opens up at 37 and 38, and you don't see the pre-market low. So that's a hazard to guess. Big move here, down 25%. We'll just take two quick looks for two stocks for DC1. DC1 holding on to Disney here. It finally cleared that 114 hurdle. So let's keep a strong market, and perhaps the 114 calls will pay today. You just want to get over 114.54. That was the high from yesterday. And then look, I know you're looking short term here, so let's see. I mean, y'all can almost figure at Disney, if it gets up to 115 today, you probably could have some institutional sellers. And no, I don't see anything at 115 previous experience or previous price action, but 114.59. Let's clear yesterday's high. Mr. Softy, the stock that goes up when the market goes up, the stock that goes up when the market goes down, continuing to have another impressive pre-market session, up 33 cents, 109.74. Do we have anything at 110 to worry about? Not in the previous price action. Next target for that could be 110.87. That was your December 13th high.
And we'll cover more tickers thrown out in the chat.
There's a lot, man. There's just tickers everywhere here, Spencer.
We will. But before we do that, I want to get to the ratings, because the analysts are extremely busy this morning. A ton of ratings that are moving stocks here or that are interesting to me. So I'll just run through the list and we can cover the ones that we find most interesting. So we'll start with the upgrades. I'm seeing Jefferies upgrading Citigroup here to buy, raising their price target from $64 to $73. Let's look at C first.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I mean, why don't you give me this one? It was at $50 here. Wow, they really sold this off here. I don't know if there was something. Man, well, this came out this morning, and they popped this thing up to 65.10, and now it's red. It's still green on the session. Couple tight ranges here. Let's see. There's got to be something up here at 65. Yesterday's high, 64.94. A couple other highs here. Looks like someone's trying to wiggle out of stock, 64.75 to 65. I'm not getting super excited on this upgrade here. Just make sure if you are playing this from the long side based on this, 64.32 was your close from yesterday. You don't want to see that going red on the session after an upgrade.
And then I guess Jefferies is on like the – I don't know. I don't know what trade you'd call this, like the eat unhealthy and then bring it off trade, because they're upgrading noodles – and Planet Fitness.
Noodles?
Yeah, NDLS upgrading to upgrade to buy. And then also Planet Fitness upgrade to buy this morning. So they're, I guess, eat hard, work out hard.
How many people follow Noodles?
Not many. Not many.
All right, an upgrade here. It's trading up on the super light volume, yeah. I assume.
Yep.
Full odd lots here. Up 75 cents on this. If you want to buy this one, go ahead. If you have been trading this for a long time, see what kind of liquidity is out there. See if there really are big buyers in this big gap up. Planet Fitness, what's that? PLNT?
Yep.
PLNT, it's getting a nice move off that. Trading highs, the pre-market session. We've had a little trouble at 60. So 50, I see 59.91 is a high. Long consolidation period on this one after a big bump up. So will this upgrade be enough to set it in motion? Is this a new all-time high for Planet? Yep, it is. It's pretty cheap to work out there, isn't it, at Planet Fitness? Don't they have plans for like
– it's so cheap. And then – but the trick is it's impossible to cancel. That's the trick.
Oh, really?
That's the trick. It's one of the great challenges in life to cancel your Planet Fitness membership.
Do they have a pool? Do they have swim pools there?
Probably not. They have like bare bones.
Okay. All right. I'm not joining there. So what else are the analysts hopping on today? I saw we got a downgrade from Wedbush on Roku. That's an interesting call.
Yep. We did Wedbush downgrading Roku and Fitbit this morning, both to neutral. And a lot of analysts also caught with their pants down on Kraft Heinz here. So we've got downgrades from Stiefel, UBS, JP Morgan, and Piper Jaffray, all to neutral. That's to be expected when you get a report this bad. The analysts are active there. I mentioned the Roku and the Fitbit downgrades. We have a downgrade from Bank of America downgrading Zillow to underperform after that report. Deutsche Bank downgrading Nordstrom ahead of their report to neutral. Nordstrom reports next week, I believe. I want to say they're the 28th, so they're coming up, and that's a downgrade to neutral from Deutsche Bank. What else did I see? I saw Broadcom downgrade at Cowen Company to neutral, and I guess those were the big ones of the morning here. So just overall, just a lot of – oh, Biogen downgraded at Guggenheim to neutral as well. So just, busy day.
Busy day for analysts. You rip through those. If there's any of those in particular that you want me to take a look at, I will. If not, have you been keeping track of the tickers here, Spencer? Because I haven't as much. But do you want to?
Let's go to some tickers in the chat. And I've been trying to keep up with it, but a lot's been thrown out. If you have any more, and you want to, you know, we got about 5 minutes left in the week, so let's take some time to run through some tickers being thrown out in the chat here. Let me just scroll around and see what I can find. We covered the Microsoft and we covered the Disney already. Let's go to.
I got one. An interesting one.
Okay.
Adler's boys mentioned GEOS.
Yep.
And you remember who's been loving that stock for a long time?
Unfortunately, I do.
Reverend Emmanuel Lemelson's been pounding on the table of this one since quite a while, but finally had a good day or breaking out here. The rallies have been capped in this one at $16. Hit $16.55 yesterday, moving up with oil. I will just say, if you've been holding on this one for a long time, it's had a nice move up. And let's just see if it can hold $16. I think the Reverend has a much, much higher valuation on this one. And I don't want to throw it out there, but it could be up in the 20s or even the lower 30s. So nice move here for GEOS and kind of coinciding with the move in oil. I'm not sure if this one pays a dividend or not.
Hunter, I'm sorry, man. If you can only afford HMNY, I really am sorry, but I hope that's not true. Let's go to Intel, INTC.
Okay, INTC.
It was off this morning, last I checked. Actually, they may have gotten an upgrade. Hold on 1 second. They did catch an upgrade from Morgan Stanley to overweight.
Really? Yeah. Morgan Stanley. Man, I wish they would have done that when it had to gap down on earnings. There's your earnings day low, and it recovered. Never even kiss that. This is a big move for Intel, folks. If you want to be buying it off this upgrade, go ahead. Your pre-market high is 52.98. You're only 22 cents away from that. You might have some institutional sellers at 53 since, I don't know, when's the last time it's been to 53? We'll have to go to the monthly here. And let's see, you are working your way into one big red old candle, and you all can guess when it was. In September of 2000, it end August at 74.88. It ended that month at 41.56. So do I want to tell you that 76.69 is your next resistance? No, go back in your dailies and drill there. But right now, let's see what happens in 53. I would be more inclined to try and buy this at a pullback. Yesterday's high, you might get to see that, 51.80. 51.80, 52, I'll call that as support.
Let's look at STZ Constellation Brands.
STZ, boom, boom. They have the big stake in Canopy Growth, right? What, did they have earnings yesterday?
No, I don't believe so. They had, there were some, company, it was Wednesday, and there was some, company, there was company, commentary as up. There was a presentation.
Okay. Let's see here. You continued through, the low on Wednesday. I guess I didn't like the presentation here. You went to 163.99, but you rebounded here, did not close above that low from Thursday yet. So I would wait for a close above 166.36 at your two-day low. Not a bad day yesterday if you're trying this for a swing trade. You're kind of in the middle of nowhere. I think you'd have to lean on that 163.99 low.
Let's do IQ. And they did have earnings yesterday. Remember, this is one of those high flyers from last year, these Chinese internet stocks that really popped in like the summer of 2018. They had earnings, and I believe they were good. The sales came in higher than estimates at at least the guidance was good. And the earnings, I mean, they're losing money on the earnings. Their EPS missed by 6 cents. Their sales were slight beat, $1 billion versus $987 million estimate, and the Q1 sales was higher.
Right. Nice steady climb here. You got a spike. I don't know why someone printed this up at 24.65. There wasn't much volume on that, but just a slow, steady climb here. Trading right near the highs of the pre-market session, 23.40. We know this is a runner. It's had it. This is a little bit different than the move that it had before. This is a little bit more constructive. Filling a gap back from October at 23.56. We're right at that area, so I'll give 23.56 and then 24.49.
All right. I think that'll do it for today's show. It is 9 o'clock, so let's wrap it up right now. Thanks to everyone who threw tickers in the chat. We appreciate that. We appreciate everybody in our chats, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. If you missed any part of today's show, catch our podcast or just rewatch our show on YouTube. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Podcast. Thanks to our guest, Sean Emery. Please remember all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. Joel and I will be back with you on Monday. In the meantime, everyone, hope you have a good weekend. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you Monday.